start the meeting? Please turn off your beepers and cell phones and do not bring any beverages or food into the church. Refreshments must remain in the Duke Room. My name is Tom and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tom.
This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons have the list of such groups. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and our understanding. Olivia will read the preamble.
My name is Olivia Bokoff, and I am an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, grace to change the things I can, so to make a difference. Meredith will read the steps.
Hi, I'm Meredith. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
these are the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
And Amy will read the traditions.
Hi there, I'm Amy, alcoholic. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Roger.
Roger Wells, and I'm an alcoholic. It's been a few years since I've spoke up here. I think 2004 was the last time. So, Duncan, thanks for asking. It's an honor. This group has changed my life and helped me through my life and continues to do that. I got sober February 1st of 2000. My sponsor's name is Jeff Kay. This is my home group. I currently do my best to live my life in steps 10, 11, and 12, and there's a whole smattering of the other ones that fit in other pieces depending on the time of the day it is. But I try my best, and I want to start by saying that I don't work a perfect program. I don't profess to work a perfect program. I've had years that are much better than others in terms of how I work the program, and that's okay because I've stayed sober, and I know where to go back to, and I know where to focus, and I don't always do it right away, and you know, my sponsor can tell me something 25 or 30 times, and I still don't listen to him, but inevitably, it gets to the point where, I mean, it was wrapped up in a call I made to him a couple months ago when he said, you know, we don't need to have a conversation. You know what you have to do. I was like, yeah, you're right. Going back, I first came in, or first was exposed to AA in March of 1995. I went to a rehab out in Pennsylvania that I thought was kind of cool. Did like 16 days there and graduated and left and took a day or two off because I didn't want to go right into a meeting. And like a month later, started drinking. That was all right. Fortunately, nothing really horrible happened except for a DWI and a few other things. And I came back to meetings briefly, had a sponsor briefly. That's for me. Tell them I'm busy. That was Van's line. He used to use it. I've been waiting for an opportunity. It's been a few years. Didn't listen to my sponsor, didn't do steps. Actually, I thought I did the steps. I was sitting in the Mustard Seed one morning. I used to go to the 7:30 meeting at the Mustard Seed, and they had the steps on the wall. And I sat through a meeting and read through the steps and kind of did them in my head and figured I was good. And somehow I managed to not drink for about four and a half years. And what I learned and what I'll share is if you just don't drink, your life will probably get better to some degree. In my experience, it did. Just by not drinking. I wasn't working the steps. I was rarely going. I mean, maybe a couple meetings a week that I kind of showed up and talked through to my friends or friend or whoever listened to me. But my life got better on the outside. I was still miserable. Did really well in business at the time. You know, was in a silly job that was kind of a con on Wall Street and made a lot of money and spent twice as much as I made, which was kind of exemplary of not really getting the program. And then in 1999, I was out. I was engaged, and I went out on a date with somebody else. And that also is not in the program. But anyways, as a point of the matter, the girl I was with ordered a glass of wine, and I couldn't not look cool, so the inevitable happened. I had a couple glasses of wine and ended up in Las Vegas and married to her and still engaged back in New York. It was interesting. So in 9 months, I managed to create quite a bit of damage out there. And then I was very fortunate that I didn't die. I did manage to get arrested in that process. And I came back to the rooms on February 1st of 2000. The first time I stepped in this room was on February 9th of 2000. And I asked a guy named Rick to sponsor me while standing in the line to shake the speaker's hands afterwards. And I'll never forget what Rick told me as he said, after he rolled his eyes and I asked him to sponsor me, and he said, I guess, okay. He said, here's what you got to do. You know, read page 62, 63, 76, and 86 through 88 every day. Go home and read the prefaces and the first two chapters of the big book. And then we'll meet at my apartment and we'll start going through the steps. And I said, you know, I kind of left off at the fourth step. We can even start there. And he said, sure, meet me at my apartment. And I met him at his apartment and we started the steps. And we started on the first page of the big book and we read it together. And for the first time in my life, I think that I can remember, I decided not to take a shortcut or the quick way. And I did my best, not perfect, but I did my best to go through the steps with him. And it was frustrating a lot. And I didn't want to hear a lot of what he said because it was right for the most part. And I definitely didn't want to hear that. I got to that four-step thing. And anybody who gets afraid of their four-step, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. It's the ninth step you should really be afraid of. That's the problem. But that was Ron Black's line. I got that from him. I'll just give him his kudos on that. But I went through the steps. When I came into AA, I was in the middle of a pretty nasty annulment and court case revolving from that thing in Las Vegas. Stock market had kind of died, so it wasn't really quite like it used to be on that side of the fence. I had quit college with like 20 credits left on my undergrad because, you know, if you phrased it right on your resume, it kind of looked like you graduated. And, you know, it didn't really work, but I did this steps thing, and I did it to the best of my ability. And by the grace of God, from then to today, I have not drank or done alcohol. Or drugs or anything else that qualifies for what I can't do. Done plenty of things that I shouldn't have done, plenty of things that bring you close. I'll even share, I was in Phuket in May, and I called a former sponsee, and I called another friend, and I was not in a good place. And it was a result of not going to meetings and not staying in touch. And, fortunately, I'd learned what to do. And as a result of that, I'm standing here today, and I have 8.5 years. But what I will say about this program is the thing that it taught me and the thing I want to share is that I've learned that if I do the work and I do what I'm supposed to do, which isn't as quick as I want it to be, but if I do it, the things that come back are amazing. Because I know in sobriety, I faced much, much, much bigger things than I faced when I wasn't sober. I just, for the most part, react to them a little differently. Like I said, I went through that annulment in sobriety. I got married in sobriety. Lost a baby in sobriety, had a baby in sobriety, lost jobs, got jobs. I finished my undergrad in sobriety, and then, like, as a joke, I applied to a grad school that, like, shouldn't let me in, and they let me in, so that created a whole new problem. So I called my sponsor. I'll never forget what he said. I said, Jeff, I think they made a mistake, and he let me in, and he said, well, do they want a deposit? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, go pay it real fast before they figure out they made a mistake. So in June, I finished grad school, and that was kind of cool. But it was weird because, you realize that all of that is a result of sitting with Rick and knowing that, you know, I did the work, and there was no guarantee other than the belief that I had that my life would change. And it couldn't really, from the way I felt, change much for the worse. So change was going to be good. But to get that change, I had to do the work. And by applying that to all these other things in my life, incredible things have happened, and I've gotten through, like I said, really difficult things without having to drink or do anything else along those lines. Like I said, I'm not perfect. I've done plenty of silly things. Other things that have happened. A lot of people here know. My mother-in-law was murdered last year, which was kind of a wacky time. A lot of people don't know, but right now I'm actually going into a divorce, which is going to be pretty ugly, and it's pretty scary. But you know what? It's the right thing to do for a lot of reasons, and it's okay. Because I know if I show up and I do what I'm supposed to do, you know, and I'm as honest as I can possibly be, try not to put myself first and try really hard to disregard what the other person says, that it'll be okay, you know? And it's scary because I have a little girl who, anybody here who knows me knows where she is in my life and what she is in my life. And she's by far, after this, the most important thing in my life. And it's really scary, but you know what? I know it's going to be okay, no matter what happens or what I'm up against, because I've learned that by showing up in these meetings, occasionally taking suggestions, initially, usually taking them after you hit your head against the wall a whole bunch of times, but it's worked out the way it's supposed to work out. And it's funny, I was talking to a good friend before the meeting, about something silly bouncing around in my head, which happens pretty frequently. And he said, you know, I remember what you tell me Van used to always tell you when you asked him for advice on which direction to go. And I remember, I can hear Van say it to this day. He used to say, I don't know why I'm going to tell you which direction to go because you're going to do whatever you want to do anyways. But here's what I'd suggest. I want to end this with a prayer that I read a lot more today, and I've read a lot, and it's one that Van gave to me. Most of the people here know it, but for anybody who hasn't heard it, it's meant a lot to me, and hopefully it'll mean something to you. It says, do not look forward in fear to the changes in life. Rather, look to them with full hope that as they arise, God, whose very own you are, will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, God will carry you in his arms. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same understanding Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. Thanks.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Jaina.
Hi, my name is Jaina. I'm an alcoholic. I want to thank Jen for asking me to speak. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here today. My sobriety date is August 24th, 2003, and I am a member of AG. I don't know. I guess probably the best way to describe my whole life was just, I was just like wide open throttle. I mean, that was from since I was a child on. And that's kind of pretty much how I live my life today, but just on the positive side. And but, you know, it was like I loved to drink and I had a lot of fun doing it. You know, it really didn't get bad till the end, or at least I didn't realize it was bad until the end. But I don't know. I started drinking in high school. And I drank all the way through college, and the party just continued. It never stopped for me. It just always kept going and going. And after college, I got like my dream job, and I went to work for a rock star as his personal assistant, and that is like the best job for an active alcoholic. everything's free, and it runs 24 hours a day, and no one ever tells you no. And I really don't like the word no. So it kind of worked to my advantage. And, you know, it was like I had like a geographical change every day. So my disease never really caught up with me. You know, there were consequences, but I had like a whole team of people besides my family, my boss, and everyone else that bailed me out. And, you know, one day after many, many years, my boss looked at me and he's like, honey, I think you have a problem. And coming from this man is totally the pot calling the kettle black. Because and so I got a resentment, and I was like, yeah, I have a problem, and you're it. So so I think I need a break from you. So I took a leave of absence from my job, and I decided to go, you know, chill out on the beach and go see my family, who I hadn't spoken to in like 4 or 5 years because they didn't approve of my lifestyle. And so I showed up in town. I rented a place right down the street from my dad. And for about 2 days, I was like the good daughter. You know, I was like over there all the time. I was hanging out. And then I went back to my old habits. I was more comfortable drinking. I didn't really know how to exist in the real world. So I just stayed in my house and I drank constantly. And that lasted for 8 months. And I drank into such... it was really depressing. It was, I lived on the beach, but I never opened the shades. I never went out of my house. I had a delivery service that brought my alcohol in. And one morning, I was in a relationship and I was living with someone and we had had a huge fight. And I was like, you know, I'm out of here. And it was like 7 o'clock in the morning and I got in my car and I got in a wreck in my parking garage. And that completely, yeah, right. I think I never made it out on the street. That right there shows me that there is a God right there. Because I would have probably hurt everyone that I came in contact with. So being the good alcoholic, I knew the police were coming. So I went upstairs and opened a bottle of wine and waited for them to come. You know, I was like, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I knew there was no doubt. My neighbors were like, oh, they're coming. And I was like, okay. So they came, and you know, I was really, I was pretty arrogant at the time. And so I, you know, kind of went downstairs and looked at the car and looked at the gate, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And then they arrested me. And this was like a major consequence for me, not knowing it at the time. But, you know, they took me to jail, and I started calling people, and no one would come get me. So I, like, you know, I was like, wow. So I had to sober up in jail, and I've, like, never been to jail in my life. And kind of when I realized where I was and what was going on, that my life just wasn't working, I, you know, it was like I just got on my hands and knees, and something just came over me, and I just prayed to God. I don't know where it came from, but it just came. And, you know, I'm from the South, and, you know, we're like, you know, I was brought up in the church. And so I found comfort in the God of my childhood. I mean, it just came rushing back. And so the next day I went to court. And like 9 years previous to this, my parents had had a really nasty divorce and hadn't spoken to each other. And I look in the back of the courtroom as I like come out there like in shackles and chains. And they're sitting together, holding hands, crying. And I knew right then and there that my life had to change. There was no doubt whatsoever that I had to do something. Thank you. So I got out of jail that day after court, and I just called my whole family together, and I told them everything, and they were pretty shocked. I mean, they knew some things, but they didn't know everything. But you know, it. And then immediately, I checked into rehab. And I didn't go to a 30-day. I checked into a 6-month boot camp voluntarily, and I just knew I needed something. And when I went down to rehab, they gave me a big book, and they took me to an AA meeting. And they took me to 6 AA meetings a week, and they told me to get a sponsor, and I did. And you know, they made me sweep, and they made me cook, and it was just really structure. It was just discipline, which I've never had in my life, you know. And it was, I loved it. I felt so safe, you know. I was, like, locked in this, like, chain. Like, it looked like a prison. But it was a safe haven for me. I was safe from myself. So, you know, I got out of rehab, and I had a sponsor, and I started working the steps. And I was in Palm Beach, Florida, so I stayed there. And, I stayed there for 2.5 years, and because I had like a home group, I had a foundation there, and then at 3 years sober, I moved back to New York, and I had no idea I was going to do it. I just kind of woke up out of a dead sleep one night, and I was like, "It's time to go back to New York," and so I did, and I came and I started going to meetings, and you know, I tried to get a foundation here, and it really didn't work out that well. I was going to a couple of meetings a week. And I kind of got back into, you know, the fast lifestyle. I didn't drink, but, you know, I was, you know, just kind of hanging out with some of the people from my past. And then at 4 years sober, I found AG. I heard this girl that used to come, or that comes to my Sunday morning meeting, and she was, you know, everything she shared was just, like, so right on. And I asked someone, I'm like, where does she get this? And they're like, she goes to Atlantic Group. I'm like, well, let's go. And I walked in, and I was like, okay, let's go. It was a little too much. it was a little intimidating walking in here, but I'm so glad I did. And then the second week I was here, I heard this amazing woman speak. Her name is Barry, and she's my sponsor today. And And I just related to her so much, and it was just like, she just spoke to me. And so I, 6 months later, I asked her to be my sponsor, you know. I was, wasn't immediate, you know, but I knew when I heard, I was like, she's my sponsor. So that was a good thing. And right now I'm like, I'm going back through the steps with Barry. I hadn't worked the steps since I finished, the first time I went through the steps, I was probably, when I finished, I was around 2 years sober. And I'd taken a couple of sponsees through the steps, but I was in a lot of pain when I got here. When I came into this room, at 4.5 years sober, I called Barry and I said, I'm done. I said, I don't want to drink, but I don't want to be an AA anymore. I was like, I'd hit a wall. And she's like, okay. And she dropped everything she was doing, and she met me. And we just talked. And she's like, and we just started working the steps again. You know, she just started taking me through the whole thing. And I am so grateful to her. I mean, she has completely changed my life. And I've met so many amazing friends in this room. And I mean, I'm just looking out right now, and I was kind of scared, but now I like see all these smiling faces that I know, you know, and it's just amazing. I just can't tell you how great my life is today. I have my family back in my life. I have amazing friends. You know, I have the job of my dreams, and I really owe it all to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm just grateful, and I want to thank you all.